clash of punk rock, politics, and your uncensored, unafraid host, Remso W. Martinez. You are about to experience the Remso Republic.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Remso Republic. I'm your host, as always, Remso W. Martinez. Glad to have you back. Right now, producer Ryan and I just drove back from the great, wonderful Liberty University back to our home in Northern Virginia. And the show does not stop. We do not take breaks. We do not, you know, reschedule things to fix the schedule. We make sure that we give you a constant show to keep up with current events, because while we might need to stand still and pause for a moment, the rest of the world doesn't. So right now, I'm back home, recording from the usual studio, which is great to be back. It's great to see family and stuff during the school year. But like I said, a lot of things have kind of gone on this past week, especially election-wise. It's been kind of hard for me recently with this whole election. Everything just seems like a disaster left and right. I was a little bit disheartened when Mark Levin, who was essentially the fountainhead of the Never Trump movement, recently said he was going to be voting for Trump. And now you have Glenn Beck saying, oh, Gary Johnson, please drop out. Have Austin Peterson jump in. And I'm not going to get on that tirade. And then you had Evan McMullen, who's accidentally picked a VP that no one knows if that person's a real person. Everything's just weird. And Hillary is showing that she's a little rustier than usual these days for coughing fits and everything. But we're kind of delve into this. What I actually have is the first actual Trump supporter on the show, which I'm happy, because we need, you know, someone other than just a libertarian on the show. He's a former congressional candidate, and he's the host of the Conservator Nation, a grateful, grateful, and awesome sponsor of this program. Ladies and gentlemen, we have Mr. Jeff Peterman. Jeff, how are you?
I'm great, man. I'm glad to be on.
Yeah, awesome. It's finally great to have you on. So just a question I usually ask my former candidates from the campaigns I worked on. One of the weirdest things during an election actually happens after the election is over. Your election was several months ago. How's life been since, you know, you've been kind of like post-campaign mode? Have things gotten back to normal? What's going on with you?
Well, you know, for about a week, things got back to normal, but I'm not letting up, because right now in Indiana, really across the board, with very few exceptions, we have very poor representation when it comes to conservatism. We have a lot of people who claim the Tea Party mantle. For example, our Congresswoman Jackie Walorski that I ran against, and then she goes to D.C. and just votes completely opposite. So I plan on running again. And so I knew I couldn't take much of a break. And with being the managing conservative, I just started writing again and decided to jump right into my master's degree. So it's been a very short breath, but there was a short one there at some point.
Yeah, definitely. That's the remarkable thing, because what a lot of people want to do is after an election, because they put their heart and their soul and all their time and resources into it, they just get really tired at the end, and then they take a long hiatus, which is long deserved. I mean, if people want to take a break, I mean, I wanted to take breaks after campaigns. And then this past year, it seems like I was going from one to the other. Though with this last campaign, I was essentially done for the entire election season. But it's good to see you're coming on. And with your show, Conservator Nation, you're doing what a lot of people don't. You actually started something going onwards. And it's kind of like in the same vein as Dan Bongino. When he finished his Maryland campaign, he went over a conservative review. And now with his previous campaign, Bongino lost his primary, he's back doing his show, which he never left. But that's kind of interesting. What do you actually want to do with your show? What's the main purpose of doing a podcast?
So with the podcast, you know, I started kind of doing what you're doing, and I wanted to do interviews, and I actually had my first interview with Rebecca Johansson Bidlack.
She's awesome.
She is awesome. She is a Liberty rock star. I think we'll see much more of her. But then I started realizing that while I don't mind doing the interviews, I really am much better in sound bites and in just kind of talking. So Conservator Nation is kind of morphed into kind of like a water cooler talk type of a thing.
Yeah.
So I've been doing it 2, 3, 4 times a week, and it's just 2 to 3, sometimes 4-minute segments that I call the Sound Smart Second. And it really is just talking about some type of liberty something going on in the news, and giving people who aren't quite as neck deep in politics as you and I are a little bit of information to talk to people about when they're at work, when they start hearing some of these liberal talking points coming out of every corner of their office, to be able to educate them, to be able to say, you know what, I'm not sure that's right, or hey, did you know this? And that's kind of what it's morphed into, and that's really what we've done across the board with the branding of it on Twitter, Facebook, and online, is more of just that branding of Jeff Peterman, the Conservinator, which will hopefully morph really well into Jeff Peterman for 2nd District when I run again.
That's awesome. So is your attempt to keep your current base kind of where it's at, keep them involved with you, or is it to grow, or is it kind of both?
Certain counties, certain areas of my district, I have really strong brand recognition in, and so I've continued to stay in touch with all the folks from the campaign. And really, there's a couple other areas. We have a real Democrat stronghold that, strangely enough, is also a Jackie Walorski stronghold, because she votes really in the same line with what they're wanting. And so that area, St. Joe County, South Bend, the Notre Dame area, I really need to get some more brand recognition there. And then kind of southern down toward Rochester, which is a good ways down the state, actually. My district's huge. I need to get some more brand recognition there. But we have some pockets where we did really, really well with this last election. It actually got us almost 35% of the vote. We had 33,500 votes, and we did it in 90 days with a little over $2,500. So we were pretty proud of that.
That's pretty remarkable. I'm glad you brought up kind of like how your show has progressed from just doing the straight interviews to just doing the sound bites that you do. I mean, I know for myself, when I started this, it was essentially just to connect all these new listeners and all these people that were interested in these ideas to the movers and shakers within the movement. But slowly I've kind of turned more from like just being an interviewer to being more of a storyteller. And I think that's a really good thing, because I think as hosts of our own programs, we need to be able to adapt to the, you know, the sways and the motions of everything in order to keep things interesting to a degree.
Sure. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, folks, what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and take our first commercial break. Hang on tight, and we'll be back in a moment with our guest, Jeff Peterman, the Conservinator. Hang on tight.
Take the show on the go by subscribing to the Rims of the Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
When did failure become sexy? When did repeating the same mistake over and over again sound smart? I'm Lucy Brenton, candidate for U.S. Senate, and like you, I'm worried about the future of our country. I've taught my children simple principles, which our government has forgotten. Live within your budget. Don't hurt people, and don't take their stuff. We remember those simple kindergarten rules. Isn't it time our government does? To learn more, check out my website, lucyforsenate.com. That's lucyforsenate.com. Join me and make your vote count on November 8th. My name is Lucy Brenton, and I approve this message.
The world is changing, and as lovers of liberty, we have to change with it without becoming of it. What does that mean? Technology is changing. Social media has changed the game forever. We're either going to be left behind or we're going to move forward. But let me tell you, the Alex Merced Media Network is leading the way in ways that I never saw coming. It's phenomenal. I lose words thinking about it. LibertarianWingMedia.com is allowing you, real people, to contribute to the liberty movement, covering op-eds, stories. If you want to contribute, they have an open-door policy. No editor, just you reaching hundreds of thousands of people. Along with that, are you sick of Facebook? Ever since their very, very divisive targeting scandal, many libertarians and conservatives are freaking out about them. But that's okay, because they have you covered with LibertarianSocial.com, the internet's only libertarian social media outlet. It's an oasis in an internet filled of trash and scammers and people that want to take away your privacy. Apart from that, there's alexmerced.com, where you can check out the podcast network and all the links to the other phenomenal ways that libertarians are coming together voluntarily to make a difference. So check out libertarianwingmedia.com, libertariansocial.com, and for everything you need, alexmerced.com. welcome back to the program. Jeff, so I'm really kind of depressed about this election cycle. A lot of people are, and while I've brought on many people who are Johnson supporters, who are other supporters, I haven't actually had someone who has announced that they're voting for Donald Trump on. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to ask you a couple questions, and I'll just leave the floor to you, so that way people can hear kind of like an outside perspective, because what I don't want to do is I don't want to spin my wheels and sound like I'm in an echo chamber.
Sure.
So where did you start off during this primary season, and how did that lead you to making your current decision for November 8th?
Well, I started off being a Rand Paul supporter, and I still am a huge Rand and Ron Paul fan. And as that seemed to, you know, as much as I love Rand, seeing him at the debates was depressing. And you could tell he just wasn't picking up the momentum that his announcement really kind of pushed him into. I think he had a really strong start. And so I kind of morphed over into Ted Cruz. I've always liked Scott Walker a little bit, but the more I learned about him, the more I knew I probably wasn't going to be supporting him. And so Ted Cruz became my guy. And even though there were some things about Ted that I didn't love, you know, when it comes to the Goldman Sachs connection, there are some evil things happening in the banking industry. And you can't be as high up in that banking industry as his wife was and not have some dirt on you. And I'm a huge proponent of ending the Fed. I'm a huge proponent, really, of, you know, not bigger governments coming in and breaking up the banks. But I do think there's a whole lot of bad stuff happening. And so I had some reservations there. But, you know, as things progressed and I saw Donald Trump getting out there and really connecting with, I mean, let's face it, a lot of it, especially at the beginning and even toward the middle, was an angry, angry part of the Republican Party who were just fed up with what really, I don't think they'd say this, but what George W. Bush and Barack Obama have done to our nation. And I'm head over heels in love with Donald Trump. Being in from Indiana, I know Mike Pence. Mike Pence is a fantastic guy. He is a Christian man, a God-fearing man. And while he's made some decisions that I don't necessarily love, the choice to pick him as the vice president really spoke a lot to me, because that showed me that hopefully Donald Trump was gaining the humility that he appeared to not have. And that he was surrounding himself, or at least starting to, with people who were going to at least breathe a little bit of conservatism into him. And then when I saw the short list for the Supreme Court nominees that he was looking at, that was kind of the final piece, because I have been never Hillary since way before it was cool. I think Hillary really has the potential to destroy what we know as the United States for good. Not just for 40 years with the Supreme Court, even though that will happen if she gets in. But I think that she is a true Alinskyite, a true radical, and really has plans to continue the fundamental change that Barack Obama started. And so at this point, I don't want to look at the greater of two evils or whatever, but I look at Gary Johnson, who's just a disappointment. I would have loved nothing more than to have a true Liberty candidate as a third choice, and I would have gotten behind them. But Gary Johnson is basically a Democrat in a lot of what he stands for, and Hillary Clinton's awful. And so my only choice then is to look at Donald Trump and see, okay, what is he at least going to do with the Supreme Court? Because I don't see Donald Trump as an 8-year candidate. I see Donald Trump as a one-termer. And hopefully what happens is that we have a chance of salvaging a little bit of this election with him making some decent choices, you know, coupled in with some poor choices, which I'm sure is going to happen as well. But I don't think anywhere near as poor as what we would have had with a Hillary Clinton and Kane administration.
Yeah, and I definitely respect your choice. I mean, at this point, I'd rather have people go and vote and at least be able to justify it than just say, oh, well, I like this person more than that person just because.
Yeah.
And with me, I mean, I think I agree with almost 90% of what you've said at this point. I disagree on the Ted Cruz portion. And for this election, because of the reasons you listed of Gary Johnson, I mean, the thing about libertarianism, and I'm a libertarian, I'm a conservatarian. The thing about libertarianism is that it's an inconvenient political ideology. And when I say that, it's because it forces you to accept things that you might not like, because in your heart you understand that certain policies and legislation should not be enforced by the point of a gun. And because I understand that, that I think that's something that a lot of people don't necessarily internalize, is that if you want to live your life the way you want to, you have to allow others the ability to do so as well, as long as they don't break your back or pick your pocket. And of Gary Johnson, whether it was the Jewish bakers baking Nazi wedding cakes or the carbon tax, which he keeps flipping on, and Bill Weld calling small arms weapons of mass destruction, I think in his heart of hearts, Gary considers himself a libertarian. And to a degree, I would probably agree with any argument he'd make for himself. But he picks and chooses what he likes and what he doesn't like, and what he wants to enforce and what he doesn't want to. And ultimately, this is why I'm going to be writing in Ted Cruz. I mean, I don't even know if Evan McMullen's an actual human being. I don't know what freaking GOP insider Romneytron 3000 Terminator workshop they pulled him from, but I don't know if he's real. We don't even know if his VP pick, who that Nathan whatever guy, if I even got the name right, is an actual human being. So that's a little bit worrisome for me.
Yeah, but, no, it is for me too. I saw an interview with him. I think it was on Megyn Kelly, and she kind of tore him a new one. But I think deservedly so, because, you know, he came out and it really does look just like some folks that were real establishment folks had some sour grapes. And I think all he's done is really kind of make a fool of himself. But that's my opinion.
Yeah, I the whole thing is just, I like the idea. I mean, I think politics, especially when it comes to elections, it should be no different than a free market. You should have as many options available. But Evan McMullen, each time I look at his campaign, I just feel really awkward. And I'm pretty sure that, you know, producer Ryan, the show's producer, is probably going to vote McMullen. But even he's like, I just want to watch this thing play out, because even he's a little bit suspicious about him. But I'm just curious, because you mentioned that you think Trump might potentially be a one-termer. He might make some mistakes and make some good moves. I go back, I don't know who said it, it may have been Alexander Hamilton, but it was one of the founders. One of them essentially said, it's better to have an enemy of the other faction so that you can call them out for all of their righteousness and mistakes versus having an enemy within who could tear everything as a whole apart. When it comes to the Republican Party, and I've never been a Republican, though I have supported some Republicans. I mean, I'm going to be writing in Ted Cruz. I mean, that's just it. I'm a split-ticket guy. But I'm just worried that if Trump comes in, because he's already been able to redefine the GOP, he's been able to redefine what conservative is, I think we're just, it's more like we're conceding everything that has gone on the past 50 years, from Buckley to where we are now. I mean, it's just, I think it would probably do as much damage than if Hillary were to win. Because at least if Hillary wins and she screws up, which she will if she does, at least we could say, look what they're doing. It's the same thing as always. So we could call her out 50 ways to Sunday. But the difference is, if Trump wins and he does something wrong, we're going to be fighting within our own circles. And then the Democrats can just do what they did when they saw Bush as president, and they can just unite and let us fight each other out, like what we've been seeing with the Congress, with John Boehner and everything else when he was Speaker. I just think that, as a whole, it's a worse long-term decision than anything else. I'm not saying I'm supporting Hillary. I'm not saying that Hillary would be good, but I'm saying that as the conservative movement holds, I'm worried that that might have worse effects. What are your thoughts?
Well, you know, I look at, I don't know if you follow Larry Sabato in some of his polling, his crystal ball, but he seems to think that the Democrats might even have a slight lead in the Senate. And if we were to have a Democrat Senate coupled with a Democrat in the White House, then the Supreme Court is definitely lost. And so I definitely understand what you're saying, and I think it's a good argument. The way that I'm looking at this, I really have, as much as I, you know, I grew up in a Republican house, for my first run for office, which I only got 2.8% of the vote, but I was the Libertarian Party Elkhart County chair and I ran against Jackie Walorski as a Libertarian Party candidate. I'm a huge proponent of the non-aggression principle. The problem that I have found is that a lot of people in the Libertarian Party are pick and choose where they kind of like Gary Johnson, pick and choose where they want to apply the non-aggression principle, such as abortion. Because I'm a proponent of the non-aggression principle being applied to the fact that we don't take a baby's life. That's the ultimate form of aggression there is, you know, killing this child. And a lot of folks in the Libertarian Party take it on the side of the mother. And, you know, when I was in the party, as I was running, I saw three real factions developing in the Libertarian Party. And it was the pro-constitutional conservatives that were sick of the Republican Party. And that's who I identified with. And then there were some folks that were almost too left fringe for the Democrat Party that were coming in and starting to make some really scary assertions. And then there was the guys who wanted to smoke pot, and they were a single issue group, and they just wanted to be able to smoke pot and have people leave them alone. And quite frankly, I think the drug war is a failure. So I talked with a lot of those guys because I've never smoked. My kids would get in huge trouble if they smoked, but I think it's a pretty stupid thing to break down somebody's door, pull them out of their basement to save their life, and then ruin their life by throwing them in jail and not treating any type of addiction or other problems that they have. So I identify a lot with some of the Libertarian Party stances. I think the huge problem is, and what I saw was, there's just as many problems in the Libertarian Party as there is in the Republican and Democrat. The problem has been that we haven't seen them on a grand scale because they haven't had as much money. So they haven't been able to make these really stupid decisions as publicly as Republicans and Democrats have. And so what I thought was going to be almost a utopia for what my beliefs were ended up being just as screwed up as the Republican Party. And I thought, well, heck, I don't see, you know, they haven't had a nationally elected candidate since their inception in the 70s. That's a problem to me. And now I see why, because of this infighting and, you know, things like the guy getting up on stage and stripping at their convention.
Hey, at least our convention has strippers. You leave that alone.
You have a point. Well, and, you know, at least they paid for their own convention and weren't expecting for the Republican and Democrat people like you and me to foot the bill like the Republican and Democrat Party do. So I respect that, but it also was a little bit of a joke in the sense that I saw that and I thought, you know, this is not what the Libertarian Party needs nationally, is for this guy to end up being the de facto spokesman. Because it makes them look like a party of pot smokers who are just rebels and don't care about government and think authority stinks.
Yeah. We could continue criticizing the LP until the cows come home. But I'm just curious, because something that you've brought up several times that has actually been something I've been trying to research more of is Trump's Supreme Court decisions. And that's one of the biggest things that a lot of conservatives are jumping on board with. It's the fact that they are afraid, and I'm terrified of what will happen if Hillary becomes president. I mean, well, even after she's long gone, we get a Republican in 2020 if she wins and she loses then, but her Supreme Court decisions will impact the country forever. But the thing about Trump, I mean, things may have changed since the last time I checked. I think the last time I checked was last Tuesday, but I remember when Rick Santorum, and I like to kind of watch Rick Santorum because it's like watching a train wreck wherever he goes. It's just an interesting thing I do. I monitor Rick Santorum. So I was actually kind of happy when he was running for president this time around because it was like watching another sideshow train wreck. But the interesting thing about Rick Santorum was that when he endorsed Trump after Rubio came out, he said the reason why he's doing so is because Trump looked at the list of Supreme Court nominees that Santorum liked, and Trump said, yes, I will take people from that list. And I looked at the list. I don't remember a lot of the names now, but I actually agreed with Santorum on a good majority of them. There were a couple there that I was a little bit worried about, but I liked the majority of the Supreme Court nominees that Santorum recommended to Trump, and Trump agreed that he would look at them. And then about a month later, somebody brought it up, the Santorum list, and Trump was like, oh, I threw it out. And then I remember when he said, oh, I think my sister would make a great Supreme Court justice. And I remember during the primaries, Cruz called him out on that because his sister is a progressive judge. She's a pro-Planned Parenthood judge. Cruz called him out on that, and Trump was like, you're just a liar, even though Cruz was right about that. with these Supreme Court nominations, I don't necessarily think that Trump would be any less progressive than Hillary would. I think he would choose a Supreme Court, which is as malleable as he is.
Well, and, you know, that's obviously a possibility. And quite frankly, it's a possibility that he picks someone that all of us conservatives think is great and it ends up like John Roberts. I mean, it's one of those things where the Supreme Court is such a coin flip, unless Hillary's picking, because I think she will pick somebody who she can hold something over their head, and they will vote they will be judging exactly how she wants them to.
Isn't that all politics, though?
Well, I'd like to think no. I mean, I'm sure that there's a lot. I think that House of Cards is probably a lot more like D.C. than even the West Wing was. You know what I mean? But I look at the whole Donald Trump and my sister thing. You know, that was before a lot of stuff. That was before he picked Mike Pence. And when you look at that list that he was talking about, and then I think a week or two later he changed some names or threw a couple other names out there, and people kind of tried to hold him accountable to that list. And really what he said was, I'm talking about people in the same vein as what I had on that list. And some people said, oh, well, that's just him sidestepping and he's just trying to hedge his bets. And really, I mean, if I were in his position, I wouldn't be pigeonholing myself into saying it's going to be one of these 10 people. I'd say, hey, look, there's this guy, this lady, these three guys, and they all believe X, Y, Z. And you know what? That's the exact kind of person that I think needs to be on SCOTUS. And that's the vein of person that I'm going to be looking toward. Unfortunately, I don't think that, especially at the beginning, I think he's been more on point lately, but I think at the beginning, Donald Trump likes to shoot from the hip. He doesn't like the teleprompter like Obama's addicted to. So I think he said things a lot of times, and then after the words left his mouth, then he thought about him and he was like, oh, but he's such a proud man. He's not going to admit that. So, yeah. Man, I don't know. You could be right though.
Who knows? We'll all see together whether we like the outcome or not. Folks, we're going to go ahead and take our final commercial break for the program. Hang on tight. You're listening to the Remso Republic. We'll be right back.
Remso in the mix.
Everyone has the right to defend themselves, but especially on college campuses. Do you want to be a victim? Because I sure as heck don't. Throughout the country, gun-free zones are easy targets for predators, and progressive legislators across the country considering ways to disarm you and your loved ones. College campuses alone are some of the ultimate prey in our country. There's one student-led organization that is leading the fight to educate and mobilize young activists around the country. It's Students at Liberty for Gun Rights, also known as SL4GR. SL4GR is promoting constitutional carry while leading the way for Second Amendment student groups all over the country. Don't be a follower, be a leader, and check out SL4GR at sl4gr.wordpress.com. Take a stand for your right to bear arms on campus today.
This year, the Libertarian Party is breaking through. We need to make sure that our elected representatives are people who put principle over power. That's why I'm asking all libertarians across the country to help me, Alex Merced, run for U.S. Senate here in New York. With your support, I'll be spreading the message of peace, markets, tolerance, and individualism to people all across the state of New York, and also promote participation in the Libertarian Party. Help me spread that message and promote participation in the Libertarian Party with a donation at alexmercedforny.com. I promise you, every dollar will go to spreading the message and promoting the party. My name is Alex Merced, and I approve this message.
Guest Jeff Peterman still with us. Jeff, are you there?
I am.
Perfect. So I'm a long-term thinker. While everyone is thinking of November 8th, I'm more concerned about November 9th. And I'm just curious because I think a lot of Republicans, I know quite a few of them back on campus who, and I won't put names out there. I know what happens when you go against a party. Trust me. But some of them have told me I'm not going to be voting for president. I'm going to be voting down ballot this entire election. I'm just going to leave the presidential block blank because they care about things such as, you know, the right to life. They care about the Second Amendment. They care about secure borders and free trade. They don't like Obamacare. They don't want to replace it and fix it. They want to repeal it and let the market deal with things. I'm just curious because you've called yourself a constitutionalist and you stand by that. And I do think that you do mean it, but I'm just curious. Couldn't you have just chosen to have just voted down ballot and stay out of the presidential race? Or did you feel it was that important to come out and vote for Trump, who goes against many of your beliefs?
You know, I feel that Congress and the spinelessness that they really show just about every day is the reason we're in the situation that we're in now. Had Congress stood up to the pen and the phone, you know, and called him on the carpet for it when they should have, we wouldn't be dealing with what we're dealing with. So I think a huge problem is that we need to be looking at our representatives, holding them accountable, using the primaries, you know, as a term limit, and caring and voting and paying attention to what's going on there. That has to be more of a priority than it's ever been, because for the presidential election to be as front and center as it is, and the fact that 90% of the coverage is on these two goofballs, and Gary Johnson, I guess three goofballs.
You're forgetting, you know, Jill Stein and Harambe, the dead gorilla.
There's Harambe. I thought Jill Stein was in jail. Didn't she get arrested or something? Is she still in it?
I think her and her communist running mate are on the run from the law, which would make a great reality TV show.
Oh, I think that'd be fantastic, yeah. So I just think that more attention needs to be paid to, you know, these other elections. However, at the same time, I see Hillary Clinton as a threat to the Republic and I see Donald Trump as an embarrassment. So when I'm choosing between a threat to the Republic and an embarrassment, especially when Donald Trump has picked someone like Mike Pence, who I know is a thoughtful man who thinks about what he's going to say, and quite frankly, has already come out against a couple of the things that Donald Trump has said in public. He's done it in a very politician type way, so you almost don't even know it, but he is his own man. So I think that Trump will become more presidential the closer we get to the election. I even heard him today on the radio speaking to a group, and you know what? He was on point with a lot of the stuff that he was saying. So I guess that's where I would leave that. Could I have stayed out of the fray completely? Absolutely. A matter of fact, when I was asked while I was running for office, would I support Trump? I said, I'm going to support who the nominee is, knowing that Trump could say some really stupid stuff. But I think it's important to keep Hillary and her, you know, rapist boyfriend out of the White House. That's probably going to bite me, isn't it? Maybe we should cut that part out. But.
Oh, are you sure? That would be hilarious. I think this is great radio right there. Do you want to keep it in? I'd love to keep it in if we can.
You know what? I think that there's enough proof about what he's done that we should keep it in.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, I think Juanita Billings and many other young women and older women, I mean, he tried to go at it with Jackie Kennedy. I mean, yeah. Jeff, to kind of wrap things up, while everyone's focusing on November 8th, I'm more curious about November 9th, because I know that in Virginia, I know what's going to happen. And folks, if you're going to write in someone for president, look at your state laws, because here's what's going to happen in Virginia. I'm going to write in Ted Cruz, and then because he didn't qualify for the write-in section to even be counted, they're going to take my vote, and then they're going to put it in a shredder. Mm-hmm. And I'm still willing to do that. But on November 9th, I'm curious, Jeff, with everything that's happened, with everything that's going to happen, where do you see the conservative and the libertarian movement going forward post-2016?
Boy, you know, I would love to say there's going to be like a kumbaya moment where they're going to wake up one morning and all say, oh my gosh, you know what? We're in Bug's Life and we're the ants and we can send these stupid grasshoppers, you know, packing. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that the Republican Party as we've known it is done. I think that the party now is the party of Trump, and Trump, like I've said, he's not a conservative. And so I think you're going to see just a continued fracture of both parties. You don't hear a lot about it on the mainstream media, but the whole Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton rift, that's not going away. That was a permanent fault line. And there has been an earthquake in the Democrat Party. And I think you're going to see, you know, the socialists kind of split off from some of the other kook Democrats. And you're going to see the conservatives and the liberty centered folks like the Justin Amashes and the Thomas Massies. They're going to be clearly different than the establishment people. So I think the rifts will continue. And, you know, I think it would be a good thing if we had to, kind of like in some other foreign countries, start to go around and make alliances, you know, with other groups and say, you know what, if you do this, I'll do this. And then we have somebody who's, you know, in office that that has made an alliance and really been able to bring several viewpoints to the table because of it. Maybe that's where we're headed. I don't know, man.
A man can dream.
Exactly. Exactly.
Jeff, if people want to follow you on social media and check out your show and everything else, how could they do so?
On Twitter, it's The Conservinator, and my my tag is at Jeff, capital J, Peterman, and that's P-E-T-E-R-M-A-N-N. On Facebook, it's just Jeff Peterman - The Conservinator, and they can go to conservinator.com where you'll find some more information out about how you can become a conservinator.
Perfect. Jeff Peterman, thank you so much for coming on the show, sir. It was an absolute blast having you on.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate it.
To kind of wrap things up and let you go about your day, notice this one thing from our conversation. Jeff and I have made two different stances as to where we are going to be politically this election, but we were able to have a conversation without any ad hominem attacks, without any screaming, foaming at the mouth. We're able to go back and forth without even really interrupting each other. Apart from the talking heads and other just morons you see out there, the Hannitys and the O'Reillys and the Savages of the world, we could have just actual conversations and we could still disagree and go about two different courses of action and still be civil. And I'm talking about November 9th and what's going to happen for the liberty movement, for the conservative movement. And the thing is, we're all going to be, you know, pretty battered and upset. We're going to see a lot of hurt feelings and tiny heart syndrome. But what's important is that we go back and we reconsider things. And I hope that for the libertarians listening, for the conservatives listening, you have more in common than you think. And this election shouldn't be another reason to keep each other apart. Just consider that. Be good to your neighbor. Be kind. And as always, tune in next week. Check us out on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes, all the other platforms. And if you don't remember the list, just go check out rwmartinez.liberty.me and click the podcast tab, and you'll see all the different platforms and networks you can listen to us through. As always, I'm your host, Remso W. Martinez. Screw the FCC. Good night, America.
Stay connected to Liberty's Rabble Rouser on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with the latest episodes, blogs, and other available content. What are you waiting for?